It's one of the most controversial questions of the ages. Who is Jesus? Is he a good man? Is he a prophet? Or is he, as Christians believe, actually divine? Well, meet Mike Lacona. He's founder of Risen Jesus, a Christian organization in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and co-author of The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus. And here's Shabir Ali. He's founder of the Islamic Information Center in Toronto, Canada, and author of the book, Is Jesus God? The Bible Says No. Now, Shabir, as a Muslim, how is it that you view Jesus? Who is he? You don't consider him to be divine.
I consider him to be the prophet and Messiah of God, born of the Virgin Mary. He performed many miraculous deeds. God raised him miraculously, and we expect his supernatural return.
But he is not the Son of God. He is not divine in any way.
And no.
Okay, Michael, now you're making an affirmative claim that Jesus is indeed divine. Now, that's an easy claim to make, but what evidence do you have that he believed that and that he proved it to be true?
Well, Lee, scholars have established that within just a few years of Jesus' crucifixion, the early Christians were regarding him as divine, despite the fact that he had been crucified. Now, what on earth would have led them to this type of belief, a belief that was so strong that they were willing to die for it? We have historical evidence that Jesus claimed divinity and rose from the dead. When someone claims to be divine and rises from the dead, we should believe him.
Shabir, how do you respond to that?
Well, I feel that Mike is putting words into the lips of Jesus, saying that Jesus must have claimed that because disciples believed it. To address the first point, there is nothing recorded in the gospel showing that Jesus clearly affirmed his own divinity. And second, there is evidence in the Acts of the Apostles and elsewhere in the New Testament that the original followers of Jesus did not actually take him to be God.
Okay, Michael, those are important assertions there. Did Jesus believe he was God, and how do we know?
It would seem that he hadn't read the New Testament if he's going to make the statement that the New Testament nowhere has any place where Jesus be divine. It's filled with those kind of claims. But I think what he's referring to are statements that can be historically verified or for which we have good evidence.
For example?
Well, for example, you've got Mark chapter 14, verses 61 through 64, where Jesus is before the Jewish leaders, and the high priest says, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" And Jesus says, "Yes, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." That's something in the Old Testament that only God does, and seated at the right hand of power. In other words, he's going to be a co-occupant of God's
throne.
No, I don't think so, because he's referring to the trial of Jesus before the Jewish Sanhedrin, and this is reported variously in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Matthew and Luke's versions, we have it that Jesus did not actually affirm the title. He said, "You are the one king that I am," in essence. And to say that Jesus comes on the clouds of heaven proves that he is God himself, that would be to say God could not do this for one of his... So I do not think that arguing from silence will make Jesus God. It is clear that to affirm Jesus as God involves a logical contradiction. It involves a contradiction with divine scriptures, and it involves also a religious problem.
It seems that, you know, uncritically taking some parts of Mark, which can be explained by the Christian view, where he's not claiming, he's not making these claims publicly, and then later on where he does, "Well, I want to know your criteria for accepting the certain statements in Mark while rejecting the one that I've provided."
Well, generally, I rely on biblical scholars because I...
Okay, but if you're going to list scholars, Shabir, then you should know that Raymond Brown says in his intro to Christology that the majority view within critical scholarship today adopts a scholarly, moderate conservatism, which grants that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah and the apocalyptic or divine Son of Man.
Gentlemen, I think we can go back and forth. I don't think that's going to get us too awfully
far.
Yes,
it's your expert versus my expert.
Lee, can I do this? Can I approach this from a little different angle? What we have two guys named Polycarp and Clement of Rome. These were disciples of the apostles Peter and John, respectively. Now, they're trained and tutored by some of the closest disciples to Jesus. And Paul presents a very high Christology in the New Testament on Jesus divine, calling him the divine Son of God, calling him even Lord in a divine sense as God. Very clear on that. Now, here's the thing. If Paul was teaching anything different from what the original apostles were, then we would look and expect to find these Polycarp and Clement chiding him for this. Instead, when we read their writings, we find them referring to Paul's scriptures, quoting them, his book, and referring to them as sacred scriptures. And then we hear Clement, who was Peter's protege, talk about Peter and Paul being on the same level. There was no kind of controversy here. Paul was preaching the same thing as the disciples were, and they were saying that Jesus claimed to be divine.
I don't think you're showing awareness of the difference between Pauline Christianity and Jewish Christianity that emerged in the early centuries of Christianity. You're trying to lump them all together. But the more important thing for you is not to Raymond Brown or Polycarp or anyone else, but to look at what the New Testament says that Jesus actually said. Now, I want to return you to that passage from the trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin asks him, are you the Messiah, Son of the Living God? Now, and it says that Jesus said, I am, in Mark's Gospel, but in Matthew and Luke's account of this episode, Jesus says, you said I am. And unless you can first establish the actual words of Jesus, you cannot build commentary on that. Now,
what does he say right after that, you said I am? He says, you will see this man coming on the clouds of heaven, seated at the right hand of power.
I mean, so you have to decide, are you saying that his divinity is based on his saying, I am, or his saying that he's coming on the clouds of heaven?
Seated at the right hand of power.
Well, here I'm saying that God can do that for any of his creatures, and that would not make the creature him God. If God calls up a creature with
Jesus
him to his throne...
Jesus is claiming to be a co-occupant of God's throne.
If the favor God has done to him, that does not make he himself equal with and a second person or a third person in the Holy Trinity.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to have to take a break here. We're going to come back in just a few moments. And when we do, we're going to ask the question, is the Quran credible when it talks about Jesus? Stay with us. We'll be right back with Faith Under Pressure. Now, Shabir, might be referring to New Testament records that are much closer to the actual life of Jesus than the Quran, which Muhammad recorded some 600 years later. So why should we consider the Quran to be a better historical record when it's so much later than these New Testament accounts?
Well, the Quran does not claim to be a better historical record. The Quran claims to reaffirm that teaching which is there in the earlier historical record, namely the Gospels themselves, and it calls upon the people of the Gospel to judge by what God has revealed in the Gospels. And when we look at the Gospels, we see that Jesus throughout was referring to himself as the Son of Man, which means a human being, that he had human limitations, he did not know everything, he said, at the hour no man knows, not even the Son, the Father only. He said, I can of myself do nothing, I do as the Father has commanded me. Throughout, Jesus is referring to God, and in fact he falls on his face and he prays to God. All of these are human attributes which the Quran affirms as clear evidence that Jesus was a prophet, he was a servant and messenger of God.
Okay, Michael, those are some very good points that the Quran talks about, refers to in the Gospels. How do you look at the matter?
Well, it's how Christians have looked at it from the very beginning, that Jesus had two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. So simply, he had these limitations in his human nature while not in his divine nature.
You must have it such that Jesus is completely God and completely man at the same time. That is like saying there's a square circle. He cannot be both, because to be human means to have limitations. To be divine means to have none. You cannot be limited and unlimited at the same time, unless you're schizophrenic, in which you have different personalities.
Okay, Michael, is Jesus schizophrenic? Let's answer that question.
Well, no. I mean, he was completely human in his human nature, and he was completely divine in his divine nature, and this is pretty clear throughout the New Testament. But when we come to the Quran, what we find is a Jesus that is quite different than what we find in the New Testament. It's a Jesus out of the womb speaking and preaching. It's a Jesus who's part of a trinity that includes the Father, Son, and Mary.
The Quran does not say that Jesus is part of a trinity that involves God, Mary, and Jesus. The Quran refutes the belief
of those...
Well,
that might be a certain interpretation of it, but...
The Quran refutes the belief of those who claim this. But what the Quran shows clearly is Jesus cannot be part of a trinity, because no such thing as a trinity exists, that God is one throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. The word trinity does not exist in the Bible. This is a later idea.
Well, neither does theology, Shabir, but we both believe theology is real. I mean, listen, look, what we have of the Quran is this. We've got a book that's written 100 years after Jesus, and source at best. It's written in a different country, a different culture, in a different language in which Jesus lived.
Yeah, Michael,
lived
you're missing the point, because one doesn't need the Quran to affirm that Jesus is a human being and the prophet. The Quran, by affirming that Jesus is a prophet, is not saying something new than what Christians already believe, because the Gospels show that he's a prophet, and Christians, despite believing that Jesus is also affirmed that he's a prophet, so on that, Christians will agree with the Quran.
Shabir, let me ask this, where did this that Jesus is God come from?
Well, the idea that Jesus is God is something that evolved over time. We can see in the pages of the New Testament itself, in Acts of the Apostles, that people very easily in the Greco-Roman world took people for gods.
Shabir, I want to tell you, I've written a 300-page book on the evidence that convinced me as an atheist that Jesus did claim to be the Son of God, and he proved it by returning from the dead. And so my last question to you, and we just have a moment, is what would you say to Christians like me who are absolutely convinced by the evidence that the evidence supports those claims?
I would say that you have to start by looking at the logical problems with claiming that Jesus is God, and then interpret the scriptures in a reasonable way that does not